welcome back to Sisters in Christ. I am Pamela Ferguson, and joining me in this conversation today are my sisters in Christ, Tamara Evans and Vanessa Rowe. Welcome, Tamara and Vanessa.
Good to be here.
Today, friends, we are exploring Proverbs chapter 13, which focuses on something that many of us struggle with: discipline and direction. Proverbs teaches that life rarely moves in random direction. Instead, the choices we make today quietly shape the future we walk into tomorrow. Discipline is not always exciting. It often looks like small decisions repeated over time. Listening to wise advice, managing resources wisely, choosing patience instead of impulsiveness. But Proverbs reminds us that those small disciplines create a powerful outcome, a life marked by wisdom, stability, and blessings. This chapter also reminds us that the people we surround ourselves with matter. Proverbs 13 and 20 tells us that those who walk with the wise grow wise, while those who keep company with fools suffer harm. It's that time now. Go get your coffee, get your tea, get your water, whatever your favorite drink, and join Tamara, Vanessa, and I as we explore how discipline, influence, and wise choices shape the direction of our lives. Tamara and Vanessa, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 reads, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffer harm." You know, I think about growing up, my mother would say these things, you know, be careful of the company you keep. Don't keep company with this type or that type. And they were words of wisdom that she was speaking into her children's ears. You know, why, Tamara and Vanessa, does the company we keep have such a strong influence on our decisions and direction?
The people around you, Pam, quietly shape our thinking, right? Proverbs is not simply describing the social dynamics of things. It is revealing how the heart is shaped through the means God has ordained, including our relationships. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good manners." So our heart, by the word of God, is being transformed. And God uses people, influence, environments to shape us over time. Influence may feel subtle, you know, but it is spiritually formative. Mm-hmm. It shapes how we think, what we tolerate, and what we ultimately become. And last episode, we spoke about the Generation Z and mm-hmm. listening to the TikTok mm-hmm. and the influences mm-hmm. on. In those moments, when you're engaging these online platforms, these various influencers, you may think that they're not influencing your decision-making mm-hmm. or how you walk, but subtly it's transforming your thoughts. Because some things we didn't tolerate when we were younger, we notice they're blatant now.
Mm-hmm. Are we tolerating them?
And we're tolerating them now. You get the drift?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so this is what we ultimately become. It's like, our country has changed so much over the past 20, 30, 40 years. Mm-hmm. Why? We're becoming more tolerant for certain mm-hmm. things. So the question is not if you are being influenced, but who God is using to shape your life mm-hmm. and in what direction you're going based on that influence.
It is often said
If you want to know where you'll be going in the next 5 to 10 years, look at the people who you surround yourself in mm-hmm. with. If they're not going anywhere, they're not doing anything with their lives, chances are you will be in the same position that they're in. It's always encouraged to get around people who are going somewhere where you would like to go. Mm-hmm. And that determines, the company you keep determines your future. Because mm-hmm. if your friends are not going anywhere, if they're always only talking bad about other people and bringing others down, you're going to find yourself in that same cycle. Mm-hmm. But if you can find friends who can be an encouragement to not only you, but to everyone they meet, then you will find out that you yourself will be going forward mm-hmm. in the right direction. Mm-hmm. So who you surround yourself with is crucial. And not only that, who are you reading? What are you reading? What are you internalizing? The Word of God, number one, but good books and good material can also determine how you are influenced to live out your future.
Influence is so important. It's invisible, but yet it is powerful. Mm-hmm. And if you are hanging around certain people that are doing certain things that you say to yourself, well, I would never do that, you will eventually do it because you're spending a lot of time with them. You may not, like Tamara said, you may not notice it, but these people that you constantly are around that are doing things that are against the principle and the word of God, or doing things that you know is not right, they are shaping your thinking, life, your standards, and your decisions. See, over time, you start to reflect mm-hmm. what they are doing. And that's why, Tamara, you can say that 20 years ago, we looked different. Because, see, it's not in your face a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. It is subtle. Mm-hmm. It comes up subtly, and you start to think, okay, maybe that's okay. There's nothing wrong if I do that, dab in that. It's okay. And particularly if you are being drawn to the influence of people, but not in the Word of God and spending time with God, you're going to definitely be led astray.
Yeah, it's just like... you take one drink socially on a happy hour.
There's nothing wrong with drinking.
50 happy hours later, you're taking about 10 drinks. 5,000 happy hours later,
you're
functioning alcoholic. No, but we said subtle, right?
Right.
And the environment that you're in mm-hmm. shapes.
Right.
Right. And so therefore, you know what you're prone to do. Mm-hmm. You know where your weaknesses are mm-hmm. as a believer. And therefore, you don't put yourself in environments or surround yourself with people.
Use wisdom.
You use wisdom. Mm-hmm. We talk about Psalm 1 last episode. 1 minute, you're walking.
In the cogs of
then you're mm-hmm. standing.
Yeah.
And next thing I know, you sit and you relax.
Don't start sitting down. Crossing your leg, you know. Be comfortable. So and you still can't even see it. You can't see you that you're not doing what you're supposed to do because you've been practicing it so long.
It shows your gradual trajectory towards something that is destructive. Uh-huh. And the results of it, you know, the Bible says the end of it is destruction. Yeah.
You know, I'm reminded of when I went to university. So my first year in university, I went to Acadia University, Nova Scotia, Canada. And I had to share a room during orientation with someone. Now, I traveled many times before then, but I'd always travel with people I knew, my aunts, my parents, you know. But this time, by myself. And so I was kind of a little nervous. So when I got to the room that night, it was in disarray. Clothes were all over the floor. You know, I got so scared. I was like, I was petrified. And in moving stuff to get to where my assigned bed was, I found a Bible. So I breathe a sigh of relief. I said, well, nobody coming all this way with a Bible if they don't know God. So I got a sense of comfort there, and I went to sleep. And so in the middle of the night, when my roommate came, she was from, I think, the UK. She was from the United Kingdom. And I got up and, you know, we exchanged pleasantries. And I said to her, I said, I noticed that you had a Bible. I said, are you a Christian? She said, yeah. She said, I'm a Christian. And she had said that she was at the club. They were clubbing. I said, oh, okay. I said, so with your faith, you is okay to go clubbing? She said, yeah, it's okay. Once you do it in moderation. We practice moderation. So I said, okay. You know, I didn't judge her. I didn't say, had anything to say with her. I knew that my beliefs were different. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to think that what you are doing is okay for me to do. And sometimes what happens is people tend to be on the edge. Mm-hmm. And someone says something like that, they're glad of that.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is a Christian who said it's okay to club, but tomorrow I go into the club.
But
right?
That's the word of God.
That's my point.
Because you talk about influence.
Yeah, that's my point. Influence. I mean, we were only together for a few days, so that wasn't someone that I spent a lot of time with. But I'm saying it's so important to surround yourself with people who believe like you believe, mm-hmm. and not think you're that strong that you wouldn't fall into the temptation. Because the Bible said, be careful when you think you're standing, because at that very moment, you will fall.
Mm-hmm. Who you walk with should not be incidental.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It should be instrumental in directing your walk with God and shaping your life. Iron sharpens mm-hmm. iron, mm-hmm. and one man sharpens another. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 27:17 says, and Hebrews 10:24-25 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love mm-hmm. and good works, not neglecting to meet together, but encouraging one another. And so that is important as believers, that we don't be a stumbling block for right. others, mm-hmm. right? We should mm-hmm. be sharpening, encouraging, and cheering on obedience mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and giving sound wisdom from the word of God.
And for the young and the older, you know, if you walk with people who are disciplined and who are walking in purpose, then you will also be disciplined and walk in purpose and progress. But if you're walking with people who are not, you will drift.
Mm-hmm.
You will drift, not knowing where you're going. Tamara and Vanessa, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11 reads, dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. Mm. I love that scripture. Mm-hmm. Dealing with money, I love it, right? What, Tamara and Vanessa, does this Proverbs teach about patience and the value of steady progress?
I believe we learn how to deal with money for as small as little children. Mm-hmm. We learn how to accumulate, we learn how to spend, we learn how to give, we learn how to share with the little that we have. And if we have just $10 and we learn to manage $10 well, then little by little, when it grows to $100, we'll know how to manage $100 well. When it grows to $1,000, we will learn how to manage $1,000 well. If we have the heart of God, a heart for God, and doing things His way, because sometimes, you know, the love of money can cause us to go after more or things that are contrary to God's way of doing things. But if we learn how to be disciplined with the little, how to give a little, how to share, how to be a giving person, mm-hmm. even with little, we can grow little into much. And I think a lot of times people have a desire to have so much wealth, but they don't realize how to steward little first. Mm-hmm. If you learn how to steward a little, then when you get a lot, it will be so much easier to manage.
Yeah, that's the big struggle, right? You can't serve God and money. Mm-hmm. That is a serious thing. And so often, I share with my husband often, sometimes I know he thinks, this woman mine always on money. But you would have a struggle somewhere. You would, maybe it's among a friend or relative or in the church or wherever. And I would say, I guarantee you, it have to do with money. Why you always talk? It ain't that. The people just... And I say, you gonna come back and tell me. And when he come back, Mo drop, eye open.
Money.
The root.
Mm-hmm. It's the love of money.
Mm-hmm. It's the love of money. And so that is something we have to be very careful about as believers. It's luring. Remember the young ruler, the lawyer who went to Jesus and he wanted to follow him. Mm-hmm. He says, sell all you have.
Sell everything.
Give it to the poor.
Would we do that today?
And what the Bible say? He went away so sad.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah.
Because what? He had a lot.
Right.
And the Bible said Jesus loved him because he followed all the commands when he was a child.
Right.
But maybe God didn't want him to sell everything. But
that's why he was blessed. Yeah, because he was obedient to God. He followed it.
Right.
And the Lord blessed him. He had everything. And I say, let's test your heart.
He was testing. Yeah. He was testing him.
Sell that and give it to the poor. Mm-hmm. Come follow me. Now that is a litmus test mm-hmm. for our hearts because many times the material things of this world mm-hmm. comes between us
and God.
And God.
Mm-hmm. You see, and I, my view is that this is about money, but God is trying to teach us also mm-hmm. a principle because money is important. Mm-hmm. It's the love of it that he's against. When we are prepared to do any and everything to get more of mm-hmm. it, that's his issue. But he said, money answer it, all things. Mm-hmm. He is in the process teaching us discipline. See, because when we get money quickly, the habits of discipline that will sustain us is not there. Mm-hmm. Because when you do it little by little, you are exercising discipline, faithfulness, stewardship, like you mm-hmm. mentioned, so that when you do get the big amount, or maybe you may come into some mm-hmm. bigger amount, then you could handle it. But when you want to just get it all now, mm-hmm. there's no discipline to keep it yeah. and sustain it. There's a scripture, I think it's in Luke, that says, he that is faithful over little will also be faithful over much. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times people complain, I'm not making enough. And maybe you aren't. But if you're not making enough and you are not faithful over that, mm-hmm. like taking something out of that little that you do have, exercising discipline and putting it aside so that it could grow over time, God is saying, I could give you triple that. I could quadruple that. But you will still not be faithful over it. So in all of this, he is teaching us discipline. Proverbs chapter 13 and 12 reads, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. I think that is so important. As we live in this life, we all have desires, we all have dreams, we all have ambitions. And sometimes it feels like, you know, prayers go unanswered. It feels like we are just working and things aren't happening fast enough or not at all. And the Bible is saying, yeah, when we believe for something but don't get it, sometimes it makes our heart sick. How, Tamara and Vanessa, can people maintain faith and perseverance during season when progress feels so slow?
I think we have to remember that God's time and our time is not the same. Mm-hmm. His timetable and our timetable is different. We might want things to happen right away, but in God's timing, His timing is perfect. And sometimes it might seem like it's taking forever for God to get to us what we want. Mm-hmm. But God knows better than we do what we need and when we need it. And it might take a while, but God's timing is always perfect. And so we have to trust God to know that, God, you have my best interest at heart. Mm-hmm. I ain't get it yet. I still hoping for it. But Lord, in your timing, when you bring it about, it will be the perfect timing for me. Mm-hmm. And so we have to always remember that, you know, for us, time seems, it takes long, but compared to eternity, the few moments, the few years that we have to wait, it's nothing compared to the time with God. And so mm-hmm. we have to make ourselves to understand that in His perfect will, His perfect timing, I will get what He has for me.
Yeah, I'm seeing this live out in my life. In July 2022, my younger brother had a stroke at 39 years old. No mother, no father. I became his primary manager of his plan of care.
Caregiver.
So that meant going to doctor's appointments, getting lab works done. He had to go into a home because of the kind of care he needed. And so it's 4 years into his plan of care. And I'm telling you, the first 2.5, 3 years of that, we almost switched places because it almost took me out mentally mm-hmm. and physically. Mm-hmm. So I knew God was sustaining me throughout it. But I see God working an eternal purpose because mm-hmm. one of the reasons why he said in the stroke came on was he was worried about his daughter. Mm-hmm. His only child, she wasn't living with him, but he was in no position to take care of her. And we weren't getting to see her the way we wanted to. But the Lord worked it through this, that we now get to see her almost every week. She's now coming to church with me.
Wow.
And she gets to see her more often. So I said, God, I said, this was a hard place. Mm-hmm. But through this, I see you working some eternal purposes in it far beyond that I can see, not only for his salvation, but also for her salvation. And what can that mean for her future? So I said, as hard as it was, I'm still here, but I see you exponentially doing a work beyond my mind could ever understand. And so, no, we don't get to see it all at the beginning. When the entrance into that hard season hits, we think we're going to go under. And we think it all depends on us. But when we cry out to God and say, I can't do this. There was a time when I didn't know how we were going to continue financially with his plan of care because we tried as much as we could to get him on invalidity. But ain't no counselor, no physician was in the place to sign the stuff right. for 2 years.
Right.
And so that means that was out-of-pocket cost. So I thought we were going under. Mm-hmm. But God provided for each 4 years into it, I say, mm-hmm. and not one thing is owed.
Yeah.
So I said, God works it. Mm-hmm. He is working on our behalf. We cannot see the full picture, but we have to anchor our hope in him and take him at his word.
Initially, your heart was sick, but now that you see God working, that longing fulfilled is now a tree of life.
It's just anchor, stay the course. Anchor trust.
Yes. When you know that your trust and your hope is anchored in God mm-hmm. and purpose, see, progress may feel slow, but we have to remember why we started it in the first place. When you're getting discouraged, why am I doing this, God? Why did I start this, God? Help me to see the mm-hmm. purpose in this. And that gives you an encouragement to continue mm-hmm. to trust him and to stay the course, no matter how dark, no matter how difficult it may seem, because he has shown in his word, and I know each of us can say in our lives, and many listening to us can testify in their lives, that he surely comes through. As we wrap up, ladies, we're looking at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 18, which reads, whoever disregards discipline comes to poverty and shame. Powerful, powerful words. But whoever heeds correction is honored. Why does resisting correction often lead people to unnecessary hardship?
I'll just put it like this. At the heart of resisting correction, it's not a lack of information. It is pride. And pride is seen as a fundamental expression of sinful self-reliance. That's all it is. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom. And James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So we have to choose. I don't want to be opposed by God. I want to be on the side where I receive grace, because grace enables me to live a life that's pleasing and acceptable to Him and to be able to make it through the tough times. It is by His grace and His grace alone. And our weakness, we are made strong by grace. And so why walk in a place where we're being resisted? Sometimes in our life, we feel, I can't, nothing happening for me. No doors opening. I can't seem to get anything right. The Lord is not on my side. Well, are you walking in pride or are you walking in humility? Humility says, I trust God for this situation. I don't need to make it happen for me. I don't need to think about all the ends. He has the ends. He has the means. And He knows the end from the beginning. And so it's trusting the hand of God to lead you, to guide you, to direct you, and to say, I do not know it all.
I agree with you, Tamara, with pride. See, pride is saying, like you just said, I don't need your information. I know it all. I have it all. So I don't need any type of correction or any advice, wise advice from you. And pride delays growth. Because if you're doing something that you're not supposed to be doing, but you're not open to correction, you continue to do it. I'm sure we see in our lives in the past, maybe, and other people's lives, they keep doing the same thing over and over, and they keep getting the same results, right? You do it like this, you get in trouble. You do it again like that, you get in trouble. That's pride. Not open to correction. Yeah. Not open to wise counsel. And we know what the word says about pride. You will have the fall when you rely on pride alone.
Yeah.
Vanessa, close us out in prayer, please.
Let us pray. Lord, thank you for reminding us that wisdom shapes the direction of our lives. Give us the discipline to make wise decisions, the humility to accept correction, and the discernment to walk with those who encourage righteousness. Father, help us trust your timing and remain faithful in the small choices that lead to lasting wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, Amen. Vanessa. Thank you, Tamara, for a wonderful conversation. And thank you, listening audience, for tuning in. Until next time, continue to trust in God.